Harper Audio presents The Man in the Brown Suit by Agatha Christie, performed by Amelia Fox.
Prologue. Nadina, the Russian dancer who had taken Paris by storm, swayed to the sound of the applause, bowed and bowed again. Her narrow black eyes narrowed themselves still more, the long line of her scarlet mouth curved faintly upwards. Enthusiastic Frenchmen continued to beat the ground appreciatively as the curtain fell with a swish, hiding the reds and blues and magentas of the bizarre décor. In a swirl of blue and orange draperies, the dancer left the stage. A bearded gentleman received her enthusiastically in his arms. It was the manager.
"Magnificent, petite, magnificent!" he cried. "Tonight you have surpassed yourself!"
He kissed her gallantly on both cheeks in a somewhat matter-of-fact manner. Madame Nadina accepted the tribute with the ease of long habit and passed on to her dressing room, where bouquets were heaped carelessly everywhere. Marvellous garments of futuristic design hung on pegs, and the air was hot and sweet with the scent of the massed blossoms and with the more sophisticated perfumes and essences. Jeanne, the dresser, ministered to her mistress, talking incessantly and pouring out a stream of fulsome compliments. A knock at the door interrupted the flow. Jeanne went to answer it, and returned with a card in her hand.
"Madame will receive?"
"Let me see."
The dancer stretched out a languid hand, but at the sight of the name on the card, Count Sergius Pavlovich, a sudden flicker of interest came into her eyes.
"I will see him. The maid's peignoir, Jeanne, and quickly, and when the count comes, you may go."
"Bien, madame."
Jeanne brought the peignoir, an exquisite wisp of corn-coloured chiffon and ermine. Nadina slipped into it and sat smiling to herself, whilst one long white hand beat a slow tattoo on the glass of the dressing table. The count was prompt to avail himself of the privilege accorded to him. A man of medium height, very slim, very elegant, very pale, extraordinarily weary. In feature, little to take hold of, a man difficult to recognise again if one left his mannerisms out of account. He bowed over the dancer's hand with exaggerated courtliness.
"Madame, this is a pleasure indeed."
So much Jeanne heard before she went out, closing the door behind her. Alone with her visitor, a subtle change came over Nadina's smile.
"Compatriots though we are, we will not speak Russian, I think," she observed. "Since we neither of us know a word of the language, it might be as well," agreed her guest.
By common consent, they dropped into English, and nobody, now that the Count's mannerisms had dropped from him, could doubt that it was his native language. He had indeed started life as a quick-change music hall artist in London.
"You had a great success tonight," he remarked. "I congratulate you."
"All the same," said the woman, "I am disturbed. My position is not what it was. The suspicions aroused during the war have never died down. I am continually watched and spied upon."
"But no charge of espionage was ever brought against you."
"Our chief lays his plans too carefully for that."
"Long life to the colonel," said the count, smiling. "Amazing news, is it not, that he means to retire? To retire, just like a doctor or a butcher or a plumber."
"Or any other businessman," finished Nadina. "It should not surprise us. That is what the colonel has always been, an excellent man of business. He has organized crime as another man might organize a boot factory. Without committing himself, he has planned and directed a series of stupendous coups embracing every branch of what we might call his profession. Jewel robberies, forgery, espionage, the latter very profitable in wartime, sabotage, discreet assassination, there is hardly anything he has not touched. Wisest of all, he knows when to stop. The game begins to be dangerous. He retires gracefully, with an enormous fortune."
"Hmm," said the Count doubtfully. "It is rather upsetting for all of us. We're at a loose end, as it were."